Hey there, Agile Loch Ness Monsters, and welcome to another episode of Agile Bytes, the podcast sponsored by Integrity Inspired Solutions, where we build software in an agile manner, day in and day out. So in today's episode, I want to answer the question, can we actually make user stories too small? And there's two reasons for this. One is, I feel like there's a lot of material out there about making user stories smaller, and I think everybody realizes that it's generally good to try to make them smaller than bigger. But I don't know that we really talk so much about, can we actually make these things too small? And in the course of my career, I have definitely seen this happen, and I would like to talk about it. The second thing is, a good portion of this content is, again, kind of about good user stories and the best usage of user stories. But I mean, you can only make so many episodes about that, and you don't want to keep using the same title over and over and things like that. Nobody wants to see that. So this is a big issue I'm going to address. So that is the title, and we are going to talk about it. It is interesting, I think, when we talk about any kind of practice that enhances our agility, any kind of thing that we see in the industry that's a common pattern, how easy it can be to see potential problems and want to avoid those problems so much that we end up causing new ones. You know, the Christian philosopher Francis Schaeffer used to say that truth is kind of like being on top of a hill or on top of a mountain. And we see the cliff in front of us and we don't want to fall off of it. So we walk backwards and we walk backwards and we walk backwards and we walk backwards and we get so far away from that cliff that we fall over backwards off the other side of the mountain. And I think this can happen in a lot of things in life. I think it can happen as we think about our agility and our frameworks and our practices. And to be much more specific, I think this can apply to our user story size. We want to avoid bigliness so much that we end up sometimes actually making user stories that are not valuable because they're too small. So we're going to talk about that. So before I get into that specific issue, I do want to do a quick theory recap on user stories, what they are, how we use them, that sort of thing. This is going to be really quick, but you know, some of you may not have heard my previous episodes on this. Some of you may have, and it's just good to have a refresher. So one thing is, user stories are things that users tell us about the things they need to do or the things that they want, the things they're trying to get out of it. And it's things, it's not software features, right? So if we are, you know, building software for a business that needs to generate quotes, our users might be telling us about how they do their quote process. Those would be user stories. If we are building a game, we might be talking about a potential player and they are telling us what things are fun for them. You know, I like it when you have stories like this, and I like open worlds, and, you know, I like inventory. I can't imagine a gamer saying, but, you know, maybe some gamers like inventory. But anyway, you're talking to your users about what are the things they want to get done. You know, if it's a video editing app, users are going to be telling you how they like to edit videos, right? And the kinds of things they like to do the most often, that sort of thing. User stories are things that users tell us about things that they need. They are not software features. They are not technical, anything this or that. And they do not come from business analysts. They are things that users tell us. Second thing is that user stories are placeholders for more detailed conversations later. Now, we may take that user story and we may add it to a work item and add other things to it, like acceptance criteria and subtests. That's all very well and good. But the user story itself is just a placeholder so that when we are ready to deliver that capability, we have a placeholder for it, and then we can start having more detailed conversations, which may perhaps generate new user stories or change the way we think about the user story that we got. The next thing is that user stories are as small as we can get them. You know, even if a user articulates something very big, then we might want to ask questions to kind of help them dig into it a little bit. You know, if we're talking about to a user and they say something to the effect of, you know, I need to buy products from your company. I mean, that is a user story. It's just that's pretty big, right? There's a lot under that umbrella that we could pack out. You know, we might ask something like, well, like when you say you're buying products from our company, like, what do you mean by that? What does that look like? Be like, well, you know, I want to be able to look at your products and I want to be able to see which one is a fit for me. And I want to do it. So now we're kind of getting into those smaller user stories. OK, because we do want them to be as small as we can get them, ... I am going to come back to this point later. And then the last thing is that we have these user stories. Developer teams create work items as responses to these stories. And this is where we figure out what we're going to build. Okay? What are we going to do in software that is the best way to enable that capability, ideally with the least amount of work? The user story is not what we are building. The user story is a capability that a user needs or desires. Then we come up with what we're going to build. And you can call that whatever you want. I sometimes just call it a user story just for the sake of speed, because oftentimes when we create our work items, the user story is how we start out. But technically, they're work items. They're work items that we generate in response to the stories users have told us. So that's my quick theory recap. And if your organization is not on the same page there, if you are not picking up what I'm laying down about user stories, then it doesn't make a lot of sense to talk about the right size for user stories or how to write better user stories or whatnot. You know, it's sort of like someone who's hammering in nails with a screwdriver and they want to know where they can get a better quality screwdriver. It's like, dude, that's not your problem. You know, why don't you start hammering in nails with hammers and screwing in screws with screwdrivers? And then once you got that situation squared away, then we can talk about where you can get a good screwdriver, right? So that's the main reason I wanted to go over that recap, is just to make sure we're on the same page about user stories. And in your organization, if user stories are not things that users tell you or potential users have told you, or they are features, they are software features and are not capabilities, they are not things that the user needs to get done, and they're not small, then you want to get that situation squared away first. But I'm going to assume we do, because everyone who's listening right now is a faithful podcast listener. And even if you aren't, I know that this episode is going to motivate you to block out your next 5 days and you're just going to binge listen to every episode of Agile Bites. Why will it take 5 days? Because I'm also building in time for you to take copious notes, for you to meditate on them, maybe create elements of wall decor out of the things that are in those episodes. And so I'm just trying to give you a little bit of buffer to be able to do all those things. So I know that you guys already know this and you're already using user stories correctly. So the piece I want to revisit is that premise that the user stories need to be as small as we can get them. I agree with that premise, but with an additional caveat. They should be as small as we can get them while still being a valuable deliverable. So it's kind of like when we talk about MVPs and software ideas, right? MVP needs to be minimum, but it also needs to be viable, or depending on how you like to use MVPs, valuable, right? So it needs to be as small as we can get it, but it also needs to be something that is viable, or it provides us what we need to know at that time, right? So an MVP doesn't need to necessarily have a lot of functionality. Potentially, it doesn't need to have any functionality, but it does need to be useful in advancing us forward in terms of the information that we get. It helps us figure out what to build next and what to invest in and that sort of thing. So user stories are kind of that same principle, but applied to the specific work that we're doing as we build software. We want them to be as small as we can get them, but we still need them to be a valuable delivery. It is, in my opinion, the smallest unit of deliverable value that we can generate. They're the atomic units of value that we stream out to our clients if we can stream out those capabilities. I'll give you an example of what I'm not talking about. So I said earlier, you know, I mentioned the user who tells us, I need to buy products from your store. And we're like, oh, okay, well, that is a capability for sure. But there's a whole lot of smaller capabilities that make that up, right? And we want to get down to that level. We recognize a lot of times when stories are too big, we need to break them down. Well, I worked with a gentleman one time and I was looking at his list of user stories, and the user stories were things like put the first name text box on the screen, put the last name text box on the screen, add this button. They were all tiny pieces of UI elements and elements from other layers that eventually became a deliverable, but they were all the discrete pieces. And I would argue that those are far too small And there's actually a lot of problems with it, if you think about it, right? Because I doubt that a user told him, well, first I fill out a first name text box, and then I fill out a last name text box, and then I fill out an address 1 text box, and then I fill out an address 2 text box. And then I doubt that that was a user story. I doubt that that actually came from a user. So we already have problems right off the bat. But the other thing is those things, generally speaking, are not going to be valuable deliverables. Having one form field out of an 8-field form is not valuable. Nobody needs to deal with that or interact with that, and you're not going to get a lot of meaningful feedback from that either, right? So I think you can have stories that are actually too small, because you can get them to be so small that they're actually not valuable. They're not something worth delivering, really. Now, having said that, there are these kind of middle-of-the-road situations where a user story might not have value unless other stories are completed first. Okay, so we might have sort of a quasi dependency, maybe not a technical dependency, but a sort of value dependency, right? Like delivering this capability only makes sense if people already have these other capabilities. So that happens. So the value might be something that will come, right? The value might be something that lights up as we deliver other capabilities. And that's okay. You know, we might take a look at that situation just to make sure we really map that out correctly. We've really drawn those boundaries correctly. But that does happen from time to time, and that's okay. I'm really talking about the stories that don't have value at all. Like, it doesn't matter when we do them. No one's going to say, oh, thank you for giving me the capability to add my middle initial to this form. No one's going to say that, right? So how do we make sure that our stories are not too big on the one side, but we're also not paring them down to the point where the user story is no longer useful as a user story? Well, again, if we go back to that recap at the beginning of the episode, one of the big things that you can do to keep that from happening is to make sure that your user stories are about capabilities, not features, not software stuff, right? It's about the business capabilities or the gaming capabilities or the video editing capabilities or whatever the software is about. It's about delivering those capabilities, enabling those capabilities for the user. And as long as we're keeping user stories about that, it's almost impossible to make them too small, because users will articulate the thing that is valuable to them. Users are not going to say, in most cases, right? Like, we all know we might build software to manage databases, and or we might build software and the domain is purely technical. And so there are exceptions, right? Just like there are exceptions to everything. But generally speaking, like, a user is not going to tell you stories about database tables and fields or individual UI elements or individual layers of your application. They're not going to tell you a story about having better logging. They probably won't even tell you a story about logging in, honestly. So if we focus on the business capabilities that the user needs, then we're probably going to be okay, because they're going to tell us valuable things. They're not going to tell us small pieces that are not valuable. In fact, if anything, users need help drilling down, right? They need help being more specific and more granular. They don't need help thinking bigger. Another thing that we can do, and this is just kind of an ad hoc thing that I usually do once I have some user stories to work with, just visually, is I just kind of go through them and I start looking for connecting words, like conjunctions or time words or transition words or conditionals. You know, if this is the case, then this happens, but if it's not, then this other thing happens. Because all of those represent good capability split points. There are others as well, but that's just something real quick you can look at, just real quick and easy. Does your user story have the word "and" in it? Blah, 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 this and this. Well, we've probably found a good point at which we can split that capability, right? Or if it's blah, 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 this and then this. Or if this is true, then this is what happens. But if it's not, then here's the other thing that happens. Those begin to illuminate capability splits for us. But notice we're still focused on capabilities, right? So as an example, if somebody told me, you know, they're talking about maybe they take orders for their store and they process the payments and they fulfill it or whatever, and they might say, like, So then I receive a payment and it's either in US dollars or it's in Canadian dollars. And then I have whatever. Well, so we have a capability there that they need to be able to take payment in US dollars and Canadian dollars. I can split that capability, right? I can give you the capability to take payment in US dollars, and I can give you the capability to take payment in Canadian dollars. So we found our conjunction, right? We found our split point, but we are still focused on valuable delivery, right? Is it valuable for someone to be able to take payments in US dollars? You bet it is. Is it valuable for them to take payments in Canadian dollars? Apparently, for this customer, yes, it is, right? So we're still talking about tiny units of value, but we're still talking about capabilities that can be split, right? And so looking for those connecting words is just a real quick thing you can do. Now, keep in mind that with any user story that we have, they are placeholders for more detailed conversations. And often in those detailed conversations, that is where we find a lot of our split points, right? So we start talking to them, you know, give me more details about this process. Tell me what has to be true in order for this capability to really be delivered to you and that sort of thing. And in the course of those more detailed conversations, then we think, oh, well, actually, we can give you part of this capability, you know, now and maybe part of this capability later, part of this capability in another user story. A lot of times I find that when I'm unpacking with a client a particular user story, a lot of times they might make mention of like having to notify someone as part of this thing happening. Well, a lot of times the need to be notified is something we can do as a separate story, right? But they might not have mentioned that when they first talked about that piece of their process, right? That might be an incidental detail or something to them. But as we dig into those details, we uncover we might have found a split point for these capabilities. So those are the things we want to do, right? Keep it focused on the capability we want as opposed to a feature. We want to look for those transitional words, those connecting words as possible split points, just quick and dirty, super easy. And then we want to remember that more detailed conversations are coming, right? And when those conversations come, that may be when we find our split points. But again, I want to keep it focused on capabilities. Here's what you don't want to do. And I see this happen with some degree of frequency, is you don't want to split a story by architectural layer. I see that happening a lot, is they're like, well, let's split this story between like the API and the UI, right? Or let's split this story by, you know, database, business tier, UI. Or let's split this story by the different systems that have to interact. That is usually not a good idea, because what you're left with is a story that isn't valuable. It isn't a valuable deliverable. So, you know, if my user story is about the ability to make a deposit and two or three different systems have to talk to each other to make that deposit, otherwise the deposit doesn't get made, it's not valuable for me to only get one system going, right? Like I need all three systems to have their parts going. So you don't want to slice up by architectural layer or by system or really anything that ends up making your user story not a valuable deliverable. We want to make sure that no matter how small our stories are, that they're always going to be a valuable deliverable. And in that vein, you have to keep in mind that sometimes your smallest story is still big. Right? We don't want that to be common. We don't want that to be the usual thing. This is where practices like Kanban right sizing come in, right? Like, is this story bigger than 85% of the rest of our stories? Well, that might be a clue that we can slice it up, right? But again, you have to keep in mind that if we're not delivering value, then you might, on occasion, just have a user story that is just big. Like, even though you've gotten it down to its irreducible unit of value, it just happens to be one of your bigger ones. These things happen. It's not a crime. It's okay. And you don't want to artificially make the agile gods happy by taking what is a valuable user story and breaking it down into three that aren't valuable. So just keep that in mind as well. So I hope this has been helpful. Like I said, most people usually have problems on making them too big. I just feel like nobody really talks about the problem of the user stories being too small. Keep them capability focused. Make them as small as you can get them, but make sure that when you have crafted the work that delivers that capability, it's still going to be valuable to your users. Thanks, everyone, for listening to Agile Bites. Agile does sometimes bite, but we don't think it always has to. If you enjoyed what you heard today, don't forget to like and subscribe to this podcast on whatever platform you happen to be using. And if you can, leave us a comment, because we'd love to hear your feedback. What things would you like to hear about? What things did you hear that were valuable to you today? You can also head over to integrityinspired.com to sign up to our email list. But that's all for today, folks. We'll see you next time.